Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Tims on a Podcast. We're just catching up after Celtic were hammered 6-2 by West Ham on Saturday in a friendly at Celtic Park. We'll talk a bit about that, a few other related incidents, and then we'll preview Midtjylland, which is a massive game coming up on Wednesday. Daniel, I'll start with you. Pre-season friendlies are usually just about fitness and getting people match sharp. Saturday was a lot more than that. It felt really as if all our problems were just laid bare and they were exposed by a very competent West Ham side, and we were well and truly gubbed.
I mean, it's only pre-season and part of you thinks, oh, it's just about fitness and getting minutes, but you never really want to see your team get beat 6-2 or lose 6 goals in any game. So, of course, it was pretty ugly viewed. It started swear as well, the team came out of the blocks flying. It was one of the games where West Ham looked like they were going to score every time they were at the park, and it wasn't very pretty at all. And as you say, Everton, every one of your problems, it's, you know, let's be honest, we all know what they are, but it was pretty much highlighted right there again for everybody to see. The only saving grace, I would say, is I don't think we'll play a team as good as West Ham again this season. So players like Murray and Welsh, who particularly struggled up against Big Antonio, I don't think they'll come up against a player like Antonio the rest of the season. So positives in that way, but it was a pretty ugly day on and off the park for Celtic, as I'm sure we'll talk about.
And one of the big issues was the goalkeeper. I think you were all willing to give him a chance, but the last two games, he's not covered himself in glory. The Midtjylland goal, he was all over the place. And then yesterday, his positioning was, I don't think I've ever seen positioning that strange. It was just so bad. And it looks as though his confidence is just gone. He doesn't seem to have done anything since he signed him. We signed him for $5 million, and he doesn't actually look like a goalkeeper, as harsh as that sounds. What did you make of him?
I think, like you said, everybody was like, right, give him another chance and under new management and things like that. And listen, the defence certainly won't help him because defence are fucking shambles. But he's just, I don't understand how that was the same keeper that was in goals when we played AEK Athens and they put us out. I really don't. I remember him making a couple of good saves and he looked like a competent goalkeeper. I don't know. I really don't know. There's not really a point where we can make any more excuses. If he's not settled or he's just enjoying it or whatever it may be, we can't really continue on, wait for much longer. It's something that needs rectified, that needs sorted, because we've seen it with Rangers last season, just how many points in games a goalkeeper can win you, and having somebody who can make big saves at big moments. We've seen it over the years with Boric and Fraser Foster, and whoever it may be, we've seen it. Again, I'm no big again down the route of Foster again. He's already told us they didn't want to come back before. And again, people are banging on about, oh, goalkeepers need to be able to save the ball first and foremost. And aye, that's right. But then, with the same people that when Foster's trying to play passes that he's incapable of doing, the ball goes out the park, they're going to affirm that. Like, that shouldn't be the issue, that we are looking to him again to try and come back and save the day. We should have scouting in place and we should have targets in place that they were ready to come in and they were exactly what we want and they're exactly who we're after. Ange was talking the other day about how it's no plan A, plan B, such as three plan A's. Well, I hope there's three plan A's for a goalkeeper, because we desperately need one, because all three of them have got are shite, honestly. I really wanted it to work out for Barkas. I really, really did, but it's just not to be. Like, move him on and get somebody else in.
I think there's obviously been a lot of debate about Foster when they fit into Ange's system. But I would sooner give Foster a chance to play out of his feet than stick with Barkas, because Foster can save shots, which is obviously the main objective of a goalkeeper. And you would like to think somebody could coach him into coming out and catching crosses and fucking passing the ball to his centre-halves. But you never know. I mean, again, Fraser Foster and Barkas are the only two goalkeepers in the world. Again, if we had a director of football in place and proper scouting, we probably would have loads of goalkeepers on our radar and maybe would have somebody quite competent in. Darren, I'll come to you, Nick. It's not just the keeper that's an issue. The two centre-halves, young guys, if you're ever going to make a mistake, probably a pre-season friendly is the way to do it. But that can't be good for their confidence. Anthony Ralston and Greg Taylor, I don't think are good enough. But it comes a point, I think it was this way as well with certain players, like Johnny Hayes. The Johnny Hayes wasn't good enough for us. There's no debate there. But it's no his fault, it's if he keeps getting played. Now, I would blame the manager for that, but I can't blame Ange for playing Ralston and Taylor, because it's the only option he's got, which then brings it back to the board, which is obviously an ongoing issue. But Dan, the back line getting into this crucial game that could guarantee us at least Europa League football, to begin in with that back line is disgraceful. I said this before, and obviously we got a draw, but Bjergen over to Denmark with Greg Taylor, Anthony Ralston, Dane Murray, and Stephen Welsh with Barcaster Baining goals. I mean, that is crazy.
It's completely unacceptable, Tony. I think you're just really seeing the fruits of what utter mess was created by the management team and the board last season. I think this is nothing new. Like, we're talking about the same things we were talking about this time, like, last season, and like, it continued throughout the whole season. It was the keepers that were an issue. We went 6 weeks just swapping between Bain, Barkas and Hazard, and the truth probably is that none of them are good enough. Like, I completely agree with what Andy says there about Foster. Like, you trust Foster playing out with his feet more than you would Barkas trying to make a save, because some of the things you've seen, like, in Greek international, whatever, like, I know we spent a good few million on him as well, like, there has to come a time where you need to call it quits, because it's just going to keep costing us. That was bad enough in a friendly, and as you say, it's like the complete back line that needs sorted. Like, I think Greg Taylor's probably competent enough to get us by in SPL while he found it in Europe, probably. You've got Rouse in there, who a lot of you just sort of assumed when his contract ran out that he would just be shown the door, but I think pretty much when Ange got there, he seen that Anthony Ralston was the only right back at the club and just thought, oh, fucking Iggy, someday a contract, because otherwise when we're trying to set up for games, we'll not get anybody that's really played right back apart for this guy. And like, we tweeted about it tonight, it's not something new. This was like January that we sold Frimpong and sold El Hamid. Like, it's not as if this just crept up on us and we've been hit with two massive injuries. I know that you could argue at centre half position Julian would be playing, and of course he would, but that's an R one. He's been injured long term. We've knew how long the injury would last. And I know since we spoke, Christopher Ayers finally departed to Brentford, and we have announced Carol Starfelt, but it's no good enough, because like Ange was talking about delaying in a few areas, and maybe that's why we didn't get transfers, but he needs to come out and, like, why are we delaying it? You kind of think it would be the manager that's behind any sort of delay. What, like, I know Don McKay's new to the role, but what is going on that we are in this position that is one of the biggest games of the season and we're going in with such a makeshift defence? And it's just unacceptable. And like, I think it goes slightly further on that, because as much as I like Sorrell, I thought again on Saturday he was pretty poor, gave away a clumsy penalty, but he's might be in there sort of playing that position to give the centre halves a bit of cover, especially the way we're playing the new, where our fullbacks sort of bomb forward. Like, we should have somebody in that sort of position that can really just drop in and give them a hand, especially when there's two young boys like Welsh and Dane Murray. But I don't know, it's just from the first half hour against Mitchell, and when everyone sort of seemed to be on the up, it's just been sort of been crashing down the earth ever since then, Tony.
It has, I mean, but I think you've seen improvements against Midtjylland, and then you've seen the same old shite. But you conceded a set piece for poor goalkeeping, which happened last season. Poor defending for set pieces cost us as well. I know Andy wanted to quickly come back in the goalkeeper situation, so on you go.
No, I just wanted to say, I hope it didn't come across that I would say not to Fraser Foster and keep Barkas. That's not what I was meaning, but it's more so that I think that, like, a damn picked up on to the end there, it's the same problems that we're facing, like just a complete lack of preparation and forward planning. I mean, you've seen that, go back to fucking Neil Lennon getting the job, like there's no forward planning that goes on at this football club.
See, when you say that, they obviously scouted Barkas for a while. You know, he wasn't just plucked out of, say, the league. You know what I mean? It wasn't like we just lazily signed somebody like Marciano for Hibs or Clark for St Johnston. We went out and spent $5 million on a guy for Greece. And last year I kept saying that I didn't think he was that bad, and he just wasn't good at saving shots, which is what he's meant to be doing. But he's added proper mistakes to his game already this season. The Mitchell one is really bad, and he made two great saves on Saturday, and then next thing he just starts getting off his goal out to the striker. But Foster, people are getting themselves into a fucking mess talking about Foster, saying it's a non-starter because he can't play in this system. No, I'm sorry, and I know, and there's a big movement of folk who are into their stats and all that, and you know, they think they're smarter than everybody, but I think there's got to be more room for stats and stuff in football. There's got to be more room for discussion around stats and XG and possession and whatever. There's definitely got to be people that change their attitudes, but the keeper's just got to keep the ball at the net. And I don't care if Foster can't pick Tony Ralston out in the fucking defensive midfielder position with a chip, but if he can keep the ball at the net, then he's got to be the Celtic keeper. So it's just ludicrous to say no because he can't play in Andrew's system when he's never fucking trained under Postecoglou. And considering I was against Foster coming back 2 years ago because I thought it was just lazy for Neil Lennon, and then you've seen after a couple of weeks how good Foster actually is again, and you were reminded, and it was brilliant. Anybody saying naughty Foster in our current state is sadly, sadly mistaken, I'm afraid.
I definitely, I agree with that, but I think my point is mirroring the fact that why are we at this stage again? We're working back to a guy who told us no when we needed him. With a tail between our legs, like why are we at that stage? I've not got a great with Foster. Listen, see if it's Foster, I'm not going to be own shouting for the hilltops about how he doesn't fit the system, because I'm with you, like a goalkeeper, he would save us far more points than he would give away next season. But my point is, why are we still at this point? Because let's be honest, Ange probably hasn't watched a lot of Fraser Foster at Celtic. He would be gone after previous world people at the club who have been there before. That's just not what I want. Like, see, when you look, obviously, the boys brought out for Japan, you think that's an Ange signing. Like, that's somebody who he knows about, he's seen him in the flesh. It's an Ange signing. Whereas when I look at Foster, it's just the same lazy shite and the same problems that Celtic have been dishing up. And it's just, I'm just that eager to get away for this, which is probably a fucking pipe dream, given that we're Celtic and we'll always be. if it's Foster, I wouldn't be disappointed about it, because I think it's the fucking four in front of them that are probably a bigger issue right now as well.
I agree, but see this talk of Foster not being able to play in the system. What's the system? All he's got to do, I'm pretty sure Fraser Foster's good enough to get the ball, pass it to somebody at the 18-yard line who can then turn and play with it. Are people saying Fraser Foster's incapable of playing 6-yard passes? Is that what we've got?
You know what it's like, but some people are just that desperate to, like you said, some people are, they're so much smarter than everybody and their stat sheet says differently, but they've never watched or played the game in flesh, and that's part of the issue. But if it's Foster, I'm happy enough. I think we've got bigger issues, but one of the issues then comes with the fact that it's a lazy signing, but I would take it, because I just think we're in a sorry state and we need a fucking lot of bodies in, so he's somebody that you know what you're going to get for him, and that's big saves.
It's funny we're having this discussion about Foster. I don't think we've approached Foster. I know we're talking about it and talking about how we would fit in his systems. I think it's pie in the sky. If he wouldn't come last season, then we were gone for a big season and 10 in a row and all this stuff, why the fuck would he come up for this? He's got to concede more goals this season if he's a look at the defence. So
I agree with that, and I don't think we'll sign a new goalkeeper.
Well, I thought he would stick with Barkas after Saturday. I don't know if he can afford to, but I don't think Bain's good enough. I think we might need two goalkeepers, two right backs, two centre halves, and two left backs to be where we should be. But we'll move on to the kind of more positive side of things. For me, I think Callum McGregor and Christie are looking a lot better under the new managers, but I feel as though Callum McGregor's going to need to kind of drop back and babysit Sorrow in the defence now. Going into Wednesday's game, I don't think he can go forward as much because we're so badly exposed, and I don't think the defence we go are good enough. And obviously Christie getting on the score sheet. And see, when Christie plays well and he's no shooting, but see, I didn't notice him shooting for wild ranges. I know he done it once against Midtjylland and it wasn't far away. When he's just being energetic and pressing and linking up, he's a very, very good player, and he became kind of public enemy number one last season because he wanted to leave, and I think people think he's better than he is, but I think he's kind of getting back there with the last two games. He's looked like a really efficient player, and he can be, and his energy's unmatched. So if we can get him back to that and then get him to sign a new deal, he could be a major asset. I think I said that after Midtjylland. Big Eddie, I think he needs a couple of goals just to kind of get him back on track. But if the rumours are true that Brighton have come in with £20 million, then he won't be here long. Darren, just to bring it to you, one of the major issues, which doesn't look as though it's going to go away, is Lee Griffiths. We've not really spoke about it much because obviously it was a police issue and I don't want to get done with contempt of court. So there was obviously a big saga whereby he'd apparently been messaging underage girls. There's obviously a lot of talk about what you can prove and what you can't prove. He came on Saturday. A lot of us thought, for one, he should never have been given a new deal anyway because he couldn't have been fit last year, and the fact he's not turned up for a long period of time consistently. And then after this incident, there was a lot of people thought he should have been sacked in the spot. That's not what's occurred. He came on Saturday, and I'll be honest, I was at the game, but I was back in the pub for him coming on, and he was booed. And it stirred up a lot of debate. There's a lot of people who think that it was the right decision, including all of us. I don't think he should play for Celtic Football Club anymore. I think I did speak for the podcast when we say that, for a number of reasons. he shouldn't be playing for the club. And there's a lot of people who were very offended and weren't happy that he was booed. So, Dan, for me, the only solution now, you can't have this toxic atmosphere every time, is either banish him for the squad or pay up his contract. I don't know about you.
Well, I think his contract should have been terminated, I think. Sorry, like as you said, we didn't comment on it very much just because it was an ongoing police issue. Obviously, police have cleared him of any criminality, which is fine, but at the same time, there's not really been any sort of denial from Celtic or Griffiths that the images that were distributed online were false or were doctored in any way. So at that point, it becomes your own sort of moral compass whether you, just because somebody's not been found guilty or charged with a criminal offence, like that doesn't mean that they're just completely innocent and that's it, let bygones be bygones. Like, I don't want Lee Griffiths to get a new contract in the first place, just because, to be honest, he's not good enough a player to have warranted it, and there always has been issues with him. Like, some he couldn't have helped, some he could have, obviously, but I think he should have been let go. Like, I think Ange's comments after the game about it were sort of twofold. On the one hand, he was right to come out and say that he wasn't going to come out and tell Celtic fans what to do because he realises that they've been there a long time before he was the manager and they'll be there long after as well. But at the same time, I thought, like, I don't know if Ange has just been told, like, he's gone away part of your squad and you may as well use him, because his other comments were sort of saying, oh, if he works hard and starts putting goals in, I think the nature of the issue sort of, if you know what Celtic Football Club stands for, like, it should have been enough for Celtic to either sack him or terminate his contract, put him on gardening leave, whatever way you want to do it. Like, I just thought it was a bad look for the club to, like, even as we speak now, they've still never come out and spoke to, like, fans or press or released any sort of statement about it. Like, we were told at the opening press conference with Don McKay about how much they wanted communication to be better with the club, and apart from, like, letting fan media in to ask one question to a player of that every few weeks, like, what have they done different? Like, absolutely nothing, in my opinion. I thought the fans who booed were entitled to boo. Like, as I say, it's up to your own moral compass. If you've no problem with what Lee Griffiths is, the way he conducts himself off the pitch, then that's fine by you. But I thought the fans that booed were entitled to boo. I wasn't there. Like, I've not been lucky enough to get a ticket for the ballots yet. But I probably would have booed if I was there. Obviously, it's easy to say when I'm sitting in the house watching it on Premier Sports, but I thought the reaction, like, first of all, for Lee Griffiths, we shake head, it was very petulant, and then other fans in the stadium then going above and out of the way to try and applaud over it. And, like, I spoke to a few boys I knew who were there who says that there was quite a few confrontations inside the ground and people try fighting it. I thought that was sort of said more for the people who were sort of trying to applaud over it. I don't know what it's through. People said that it's not as if, oh, we just didn't want Lee Griffiths to get a new contract, we're going to boo him. Like, I think you need to look above the sort of the notion that, oh, if he's wearing the hoops, then I'll never boo him. Like, I'll always cheer him. Where do you draw the line if it's not there? Like, I know it's a controversial issue, Tony, but I just, to answer your question, I think Celtic should release him, but to be honest, I don't see any chance of it happening.
I think Celtic should at very least release communication regarding, obviously, the screenshots we've seen, our messages. And if there's something we're missing, if they're fabricated, which as far as I'm aware they're not, if we're missing something, I would love the club to come out and say, look, these messages are not real, or the ages are completely misconstrued, and we would happily apologise. But as far as we're aware, I think if that was the case, he would have said something by now. Danny, this complete fucking circus around Griffiths can't go on. We have got no time for it. We've got fucking bigger issues with the state of the squad, and things could really quickly tumble if we get fucked on Wednesday. We need to remove this guy from Celtic Football Club with immediate effect. The board are long overdue making a good fucking decision. And I think, you know, it's, the funny thing is, it wouldn't be one that would unite the fans. There'd be a lot of fans annoyed at that. But I think from a moral standpoint, a professional standpoint as well, you can't have these guys representing the club.
No, you can't, and you're right. It's a complete circus. And can you imagine, I mean, there were only 18,000 fans there on Saturday. Could you imagine a full house suit? The boos, you know, there were people talking about fighting in the stands and arguing with folk, and folk walking out in disgust because they get booed. And seen a few folks say they walked out when people started cheering. I mean, I personally turned the ear when he came on after a couple of minutes, because we were getting, it was 4-1 or 4-2 or something at the time, and I just thought, fuck this, I'm not watching this. But there's, the Griffiths circus has been going on for a lot longer than in a couple of weeks it's been going on since Rodgers came in and Dembele took his starting spot in the team. And I actually went after Griffiths on about him because he had people saying that he was better than Dembele, and that, I thought it wasn't really his fault, but it completely put me against him because Dembele was just head and shoulders so far above him. And look what they've done in the last 4 years. But it's Griffiths shouldn't be anywhere near Celtic. It's a disgrace that he's still employed with the club. This is before Renton came out. He should never have got a new contract. We keep hearing it's his last chance. It's his last chance. He's fucked so many chances recently. It's unbelievable. And we've got people in our mentions saying you're taking the side of the media. People still can't see it by being a Celtic Rangers or a Celtic versus the Protestant Scottish mainstream media issue. You know what I mean? This is a fucking criminal issue, or but it isn't, because the police couldn't prove it, but it's a moral issue, it's a human issue. We've got somebody who has got children, who has got a girlfriend, who's messaging 15-year-old lassies looking for pictures on the internet. It's no, you know, I went out and get drunk and hit somebody here. You know, he didn't come out in the media and say, hey, it's been here and let's sign for somebody else. You know, it's something completely fucking so above that, and people just can't see. First, there's a weird reason they just cannot see by Lee Griffiths. He's not produced for us in 5 years. He's come in, he's scored a few goals, but the amount of times people say, get him fit this, get him fit that. He's been fit for 5 years and produced fuck all. And I know he took his time out, and don't know if I speak for everybody here, but I certainly went through some mental health stuff over the years, and you know, you would never use that as a weapon against him or anything like that. But people, you're seeing people saying, oh, think about his issues. Well, no, you can't let him get out of jail because he's had problems in the past. You know, this is something completely fucking alien. It's sleazy, it's creepy. And as you say, it's just a complete circus that we can't afford to play out. And we can't afford this to play out. And it's got to play out in the stands. Because, and I'm going to say something controversial, but I've resented Griffiths scoring for the last 2 seasons. And when he scored that late goal at Johnston, I was fucking raging. Because the biggest season of his career, biggest season in our life since Rangers were going for 10 in a row, and he can't get himself fit. And you think, right, that's him. He's got to go. Because bear in mind, he came back for his troubles the season before and couldn't get fit. And then he comes in at Christmas and he was all right. But let's be honest, the turning form that coincided in them bottling it in 2020 was down to Edward deciding, fuck this, I'm too good for this, I better start showing it. And, you know, all of a sudden Griffiths is a hero again, and then he can't get himself fit, and you think, right, that's it, it's got to be. Like, Celtic just need to cut their losses here. You know, even when Neil Lennon calls you, your fitness a disgrace, you know what I mean? You know you're fucking bad. And then, unconfirmed, don't know if it's true, but we've all heard the stories about him cheating his times on Strava during the lockdown, and, you know, apparently he wasn't eating right and all that. You just think, well, what made the folk get away with it? And then I thought, fuck him. If he can't take, you know, if I was getting paid the amount of money he's getting paid to be fit, I'd be fucking fit. Just when he scored that goal against Johnston, I was like, fuck, because I was delighted at Celtic won, obviously, but I just resented the fact he scored that. And then when Klamala scored a couple of minutes later, I was fucking buzzing because it kind of took a shine off him a bit. But he's done nothing. This thing about his effort, and I was really upset with Postecoglou. You know, he scores a few goals, you get back in the good books. But that kind of thing's been flung about for the last 4 years. And he's a disgrace for what he done. He Celtic are a disgrace for gaining a contract in the first place. They're a disgrace for no acting on this. And it'll play out in the stands as the stadium starts to fill up again. More and more people will boom. He'll take abuse at away grounds because half away supporters, if he comes on Saturday night, he'll take abuse at Tynecastle. But when the Celtic away support get back, I mean, you know yourself, it's merry the hardcore that go away. They'll pummel him week to week, and rightly so, he deserves it for what he done. And this whole thing about, oh well, no criminality, so I'll just go to forget it. Well, the police couldn't prove criminality with Kudela versus Glenn Kamara, but folks still want Kudela fucking hung, drawn and quartered, and for rightly so. But with Griffiths, it's like, well, we just need to get on with it. I'll never boo MD Wears the Hoops. Well, you probably booed Jack Hendry against the AK Athens a few years ago. So the moral compass of Celtic support is a very dangerous thing. And our mentions on Twitter this week have been extremely dangerous, and I've got no time for anybody that's supporting Griffiths here, because as Tony said, you could come out and say, oh, the messages are doctored or his account was hacked, but it's the complete silence. And the fact that Postecoglou put him on with nine other folk the other day to try and sneak him onto the park. It was just a fucking disgrace. And Celtic's lack of communication yet again. It's just making Everton poisonous. It's just making Everton poisonous. And Celtic just need to bite a bullet and get rid of him. You know, it might cost us up to, I don't know, a couple of $100,000. But he's got to go. Because who's going to sign him? Who are we going to sell him to? He's got no value at Celtic. He's got absolutely no value. If it means us going without a striker for a couple of weeks until we sign a new one, then absolutely we need to do the right thing. And this whole, oh, he scores a few goals and people forget, well, they're very fucking mistaken if they think that. And it's time Celtic fucking grew up and done the right thing. And this whole sitting, they're just hoping people forget about it. And that makes it even worse to me. It just, well, I promised so many new things after Don McKay, and I've got no doubt the guy walked into a complete shit show. He probably thought Eddie Howe was in the bag, and then it wasn't. He's had to react and went out and got Big Ange, and as I say, we all like Big Ange so far, and what he's trying to do. But the communication's just utterly non-existent, and this isn't just like a wee thing, this is such a big thing, and they've got it so wrong, and it's morally and it's repugnant, it's absolutely disgusting.
Buck, I don't know what I'm going to do with that Lee Griffiths 9 birthday present I got you, that new Celtic tap. I need to take it back, Danny. No, I mean, you covered a lot of ground there, and I think most of what you say, or probably all of what you say, is spot on. I think that was maybe Ange making his first mistake. I know we posted it something on Twitter, I don't know who it was, about him saying that he wouldn't criticise the fans for booing, but then he went on to talk about a few goals, and I guess the fans back inside. With an issue like this, that shouldn't change anybody's mind. Well, it certainly wouldn't change mine. It's completely, there's a point where football and then obviously your moral compass. So I think, yeah, a few goals will change nothing. That's why it's imperative that we end the circus. When it was first coming out and I seen it, oh, I was just knackered. We obviously had a shite last season, then this comes out and you get bored of it. You just go, this is nothing to do. I want to talk about...
Hold on. It's just announced that he's not went to Denmark because he's suffered a calf injury in training.
Well, there we go. So he's injured now as well. But you don't... fucking okay. But it's that kind of way where this can't be resolved. There's not going to be a time where he scores one goal and everybody just applauds him at Celtic Park. People have made their mind up. Their minds are made up. The support's now split and it's becoming ugly on Twitter. And it's quite... It reminds me a bit of when people were going against Lennon. Obviously, Neil Lennon done nothing like this and was only guilty of being an utterly shite football manager. But no, that way, the support was split and the club didn't act. And it was just division, podcast fighting with people and people arguing, and it just rambled on and on and on. A lot of arguments when the club should just step in and remove these people at the club and then move forward. A bit like now, obviously, everybody's behind Postecoglou. But with Griffiths, it has just turned into a circus now. As you say, whenever he goes to any away ground, he's going to get it. He's going to get all the mad chance. We've heard it all before. So that we really can't afford this circus to kick on, and it'll be paper headlines and mess stuff will come out, and it'll be a nightmare, and it'll just be annoying. And it's just, I don't know what the club are doing, if they just think that it's just going to, the fans are somehow going to forget they don't like him and they don't want to play for us. I mean, even if you take away this part of the saga, no coming back fit last year, I think I said it a couple of months ago, that should have been the end there, because you're setting such a poor example to the likes of your Dane Murrays and your Stephen Welshies that you can rip the piss at a Celtic Football Club. You can turn up unfit. So I'll bring it to you, Andy. I know we've obviously, I think Danny covered Griffiths for about 10 minutes there. I've got the same opinion. It needs to be finished.
I get the feeling that Danny this season on Griffiths is going to be you last season on Neil Lennon. There'll be a few more of the eulogies to come. To be honest, you've all said
you were too busy sitting in the fence. Somebody had to fucking say something.
I'm glad you're the me, because all the fucking lunatics that keep messaging us all this push about how much they support Griffiths, it would just need to come to you. Nah, it's just a fucking circus. The thing about Griffiths is it never ends. It's constant. He'll always fucking let you down again. And this is just the latest and fucking the worst one yet. I don't get how anybody can defend it. It's beyond comprehension for me, because it's fucking downright disgusting. And again, it's just the club just being a fucking shit show and a shambles and offering this guy a contract because we had nothing else lined up and we'd no idea what to do. So it was just, fuck it, we'll keep it for another year. And that line that Ange came away with, that's I just feel like that's the type of pish that the board are sitting spouting when they have their wee meetings. It's like a couple of goals and the fans will all be getting back on side. We'll shift a couple of Griffiths 9 jerseys. It's that pish, it's that type of nonsense. Because the guys who defend Griffiths, are they're the fans they want. They're the people who will never criticise Celtic. They'll never have find it within themselves to a turn around and go, wait a minute, that's no right, because they think it makes them less of a fan. And it's the same people who this fucking whole, it's us, we, as Swanee's mentioned earlier, we the Rangers media and this, that, the next thing. Like, what he done was wrong in every level of being a fucking human. Get him out, that's it. It shouldn't even have came to this before that was, we all wanted him gone beforehand. But even the people who, prior to that, maybe even a footballing sense, listen, football's a game of opinion. Some people might have been convinced the cows came home that this guy could, I don't know, fucking get back to and score fucking 20, 30 goals a season. Might have been convinced of that. That's fine, that's their opinion. But even then, when something, as you said, your moral compass comes into it, and they're saying, nah, listen, that's enough. That should have been the turning point for anybody who disagreed with us or whoever else saying that they wanted Griffiths to go. See, all that should have been it. But it's no, because I don't know what goes through some people's minds. It's fucking dangerous. Nothing else. I can't even look at our mentions after the last week or so, because I just get fucking raging reading through them, because these people are a fucking danger and they should be hunted. But I can't, you shouldn't be there, Tony. I don't even think that. Even look at this, obviously, Danny said that he's no travelled for a calf injury. He's either no travelled because of what's happened, or he's no travelled because yet again, he's unfit and he can't get fit and he can't stay fit. Either way, he just shouldn't be there. And we shouldn't be paying this guy's wage. I'd be fucking going to Hibs and saying, listen, Nisbet, we'll give Griffiths up plus money for him and just get somebody else in, because it's just a fucking circus and it just makes us look like a circus. And I think sooner or later, whether it's when he leaves eventually or whatever, I don't think Ange is the type of guy to keep quiet, because I really don't see him being too happy with the cards that he's been dealt with at the minute.
Can I pop in just before, Tony? See Ange's comments when he said blah blah to fans and stuff, but he also said he didn't need to come back. So can I mean, was Ange throwing him to the wolves, or did Ange want, was that him making a point knowing that fans would react like that? Because he basically said the other day that it wasn't his decision.
I did see that, where it was Griffiths made the chance to come back. Does that mean somebody said to him, he can walk away for this? Well, he's never going to walk away and put the money. No, I did see that comment. The comments were just, I don't know, the whole thing's very bizarre. Just overall, this is quite late at night we're recording this, so I've just seen from the Daily Record directly, Dermot Desmond is taking a hands-on approach in helping Ange Postecoglou rebuild his Celtic squad. Majority shareholder has been openly involved in the transfer deals of the Hoops this summer. Desmond has been dealing directly with a number of top figures in the transfer market, his manager, as he looks to strengthen and reshape the Celtic squad. And then it goes on and on and on. Dermot Desmond shouldn't be ending with transfers. Dermot Desmond should be giving money to people who don't get transfers. See, this is the other thing.
You know the scary thing, Tony? Do you know the scary thing is, right? We've spent about 14 million this summer.
I think so.
And we've no really, apart from Starfelt, because we needed a defender, but how did we not just spend like 7.5 million on a right back and 7.5 million on a centre half? Now, the boy, don't get me wrong, the Furuashi boy really like excites me. So does the Israeli boy. I think he's brilliant. And they're after this, other Lovric guy for like 5 mil. Is another winger. Well, I'm like, is it? Because as much as I loved the first half against Michelin the other night, I thought the whole team played into that system and we were desperately unlucky not to win that game. We should have won it. And I said it's kamikaze football, but surely you need to address the problems that we've got, like, because we'll no score 5 every week.
We could against most teams. I mean, I could see a lot of, I think Celtic to win and both teams to score could be the bet next season. Just something I was going to touch on. I mean, obviously that was a bit for the Daily Record, and I know the papers, they talk a lot of shite sometimes, but it has been proven that we've been feeding stories to the Sun. I mean, the whole Griffiths thing, that was the Sun that broke that. That was an issue last season. That seems to still be going on. Dominic Mackay, in a conference that I got to, spoke about being world-class and having a look over everything. And we're so far from world class, it's scary. We are fucking amateur now. And we've been amateur for nearly a year now. We have been run like an amateur club. And we've made mind-boggling decisions. I think we need a director of football. I think we need a new fucking probably need new analytics people. We need new scouts. We need a whole overhaul of the football department. And so far, all we've changed is the manager and the CEO. We've still got the same two guys, Stratton and Kennedy. I know Kennedy's got a lot of praise for people, and I'm sure he's reasonably good as a manager type coach. Everybody be getting this praise. Gavin Strachan, maybe he's good as well, but a lot of fans again are not happy that they two are still there, so that's another issue. I just feel as though, as much as we're talking about being underprepared for Midland, we're underprepared for Hearts. The league season starts in 6 days. The winner of the league gets into the Champions League without having to play a qualifier for the first time in, must be well over a decade. It must be about 12, 13 years. This is a massive league title. Rangers are very strong. They were miles ahead of his last season, and our only saving grace was they didn't win an invincible treble. We're underprepared for Hearts, never mind Midland. I mean, I think we could drop points at Tynecastle. I know some people be saying this is just ridiculously negative, but when you look at what we're getting into it with, it's insane. So I think if we're going to be a world-class outfit, there must be so many players coming in this week along with the director of football and a full new football department for the season started. But I seen Starfelt could be fit for Saturday, but or he could be able to play if he's obviously isolating, but it's still too late. You need these guys to be in early. How long have we known Postecoglou's going to be the manager? Nearly 2 months. How the fuck was a right back not identified and signed that time? I get it. It takes time to sign players, but surely we can work more efficiently if we had the right people in place that were identifying targets for January to say, look, this is somebody we think is good for right back or left back, centre half, and get these guys in. It's just, I still like Ange and I still think there's positives, like the new guy Furuhashi, Abada looks a player, hopefully Starfield's a player, McGregor seems to be improving, Christie, etc, etc. And I like the manager a lot. I've got a lot of time for him. I think he's very honest, which is good, opposed to saying, oh, we were unlucky or we were brilliant and just lying to the fans. But I feel as though this week could be challenging. I thought last week was going to be challenging. I feel we've got an almighty task in Denmark. But again, all it takes is winning in Denmark and that'll switch to the momentum in our favour. But then we need to become consistent and beat Hearts and Dundee and St Mirren and all these other teams. But I don't know, I just feel we're, as always, we're unprepared for huge games at the start of the season, and we seem to do it year after year. Rodgers bailed us out before, and then obviously under Dylett didn't work. Under Lennon the first time he did do quite well, but second time round disastrous. So I feel sorry for the manager, and I feel as though I say this every time I talk about the guy, but I do feel really sorry for him. I think he's not really been back to be the everybody wanted him to be. I feel as though he's got a really tough job in his hands, and I just hope that if anything does go wrong early doors, that the attention's turned towards the board. Because they're at fault. Dermot Desmond's the main one. He is the major issue. He's a major shareholder and he's a major issue. We need that guy at the club. I don't see what he brings that's positive whatsoever. I mean, we've got a billionaire that was a guy who came on, I can't remember his name, but he came on our phone in and he was superb and he says, we bankroll the club with the season ticket money and the merchandise. It's not Dermot Desmond. So I would love that guy to leave the club, I must admit. Aye, happy days. So, what's the predictions for Wednesday? I'll start with you, Danny.
After your Stirling team talk there, I don't know, I wasn't too impressed with Midland last week. I think they'll probably be better at home. Shipping six against Saturday's really dented my confidence. I thought last week the game might just come too early, especially with Footbeat on at the back. And I don't know, if Midland watch that on Saturday, they must fancy themselves at home. They'll probably just start feeding the ball through the tap and see what happens. But Celtic have always got a goal in them. Obviously, there's nearly a goal now. So, but we do always have goals in us, and we should have scored a lot more than one last week. Edward always has a goal in a big game. So, I'm looking forward to him to bust in it. But I don't know. I think Celtic will go through, but we can have no complaints if we go, because we're so underprepared. It's like, see when they brought in the boy Kenny on loan last year, on like deadline day? That should have been the warning bell that we were going to head into the Champions League underprepared again at right back, because we've sold Frimpong and we all had fucking mixed opinions on him, but at the end of the day he was a fucking great wee player who probably will go on to be better. But you asked for a prediction, I'll say Mahid says we'll get done 2-0, but my heart says it will be 1-0 Celtic and Edward will get the winner.
Andy, you going to use a realistic prediction?
I wanted to pick up one. Obviously, I didn't mention much about the West Ham game, but I don't really like using friendlies as a massive indicator that people are getting dead upset about it and all. And I agree with one of you said, it's never nice to see your team concede 6 goals, right? But at the end of the day, it's a friendly. Like, it doesn't mean fuck all the players know that just as much as everybody else. It's time in the legs, and we won't come up against a front line like that. That boy Antonio could play for most teams in the Premier League. So it wasn't a big fear for me, because I don't think midfield are to be feared. I think we can go and we can score goals. And we all know, just you fucking rave about it just about every week, Tony, but you know Edward can go there and can change the game himself. The boy Abada, obviously, to be sacrificed after we were near and made an arse of it. But really, I think it's definitely winnable. I don't really see why not. You've got to go with that attitude. Although we're a fucking bomb scare at the back, I think we've got enough for the midfield and the front line to go there and to win that game. I do think it will be a both teams to score, say, like, to win bet that will be going on for myself. But I really don't see anything to fear. I'm going to say 2-1, say, like, and I think going forward there'll be a lot to be happy about. I really do. Like, Christie's somebody else I've been happy with. McGregor's been offering and scoring goals, and then obviously I mentioned Ruboy Abada, and Eddie's just does Eddie things. And I think Tumbles, obviously, for what we've seen in the friendlies and in the game against him so far, I think he's got another gear to come on to anyway, which I think will come with game time. Do you know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to that. But I do think there'll be an absolute calamity at the back, and somebody will make an arse of it, probably a fucking Welsh own goal or something. But I'll go 2-1, say, like.
Darren, what are you going for?
I don't know if the players will wipe Saturday from their memory as much as Andy would maybe want us to believe. I think the fact that that's happened will have had a major effect on their mentality in any game, especially when you've got young boys in the centre-half, thinking how many they've conceded and just sort of... Like, before Saturday, I was very confident, and do you know what? See, it makes me just despise what happened with Beaton even more last week, because I think if Beaton had just let the player get booked, we'd have known and won that game comfortably, probably about 3-0 or something. But Saturday, really, much like the rest of the support, sort of dented my confidence, and I just think we're bound to concede. I don't see how we can go there and, like, just keep a clean sheet. Like, Mitchell looked really poor against us. He didn't really open up. Of course, that you'd expect that to be different in front of the home fans, and not just the effect that Saturday will have on us, the effect it'll have on Mitchell when they look at us and see that if, as Danny calls it, if Ange continues with his kamikaze football, then you're going to see Mitchell and just see, or if you just sort of contain Celtic, they'll just throw men forward. But I think my pal Sammy, who put on Twitter, there was a screenshot from the friendly, and at one point Celtic had near enough, I think it was 8 outfield players, like, out, I think it was just outside the 18-yard box, West Ham, and, like, you're looking at it, I think if you've got players with pace attacking you, then you've got the two centre-halves and the keeper to beat, and that's it. You've not got any sort of backup, and I think teams in Europe will be wise to that and could catch us out. And I'm really torn. Like, my heart says that Celtic will win 2-1 and Edward will turn up and put Mitchell into the sword, but my head says that I think we might get beat 3-1 and we'll probably sell Christie and Edward by the weekend. But I don't know, Tony. It's very much head v heart just now.
I mean, Andy touched on, we've not got any fear for Midland, and I think I touched on this before, Celtic terrify me. It's no the opposition teams that scare me, it's the stupidity of us and the mistakes that we've got in us. But I mean, I think 2-1 either way, and then it's obviously on to Hearts. But there is still some positive. Starfield's coming in, a few of the hashes coming in, the team all look better, but there's still a fucking load of work to do. So I don't have anything else to add. Oh, I subscribe to us on YouTube. I guess that's about it. We've started uploading all the audio onto YouTube for anybody who goes over there. So it's just Four Tims, I think, is the name of the YouTube. But we upload it to Twitter and Facebook as well. And also, a big talking point today is we're sponsored by Manscaped. And if you go to manscaped.com and put in the code TRIM4TIMS, so it's like TRIM, number 4, and then Tim's, you get 20% off. They're actually bringing out a new shaver, the Lawnmower 4.0. So I take it that makes it easier to shave your balls. So if you're into that...
Of course, we need to test drive for the rest of the listeners, just to make sure it's all right.
If Manscaped want to send us a couple, they can go ahead. So Aye, manscaped.com, trim for Tim's, 20% off for all your hygienic manly things. But aye, that's it for us. Hopefully get the result on Wednesday and we'll be back then. Take care, bye-bye.